I stand upon the mountain, I look upon the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, how we long, Father, the day that He will appear to take the bride away. We thank You for this time that we have. Let the rain of Your word, Father, fall upon us, and that we drench ourselves in it and soak in it, Father. Until the latter rain, the revival rain comes, Lord, to give us a change of this wretched body, corruptible body, into that which is incorruptible, immortal, and to be caught away to meet our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in the air. We long for that day, Lord. In the meantime, Father, in this little space of time, this little space, this little time left that we have, let us be vigilant, O Father. To be watchful, Lord, be in supplication, Father, As you see the day come closer, each day getting closer, and each day that comes and then passed away into yesterday, knowing the Lord, we are getting closer to that hour then, Father, that we walk before you as thou have commanded Abraham to do just that, to walk before you and be perfect. Let your children, so Lord, today examine each and every one of our own self, Father, and how they will walk actually in your sight. Today, Father, Lord, is far spent now. We have been here for so many years, some of us 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years in this faith, or even more. And we are thankful for you that you have kept us, Lord. And we know that if you have started working us, you're going to finish it, Lord, by hook or by crook, as the word says, oh Father, that you would chastise us to that place if we are your children, because, oh Father, if we be not your children, then we are bastard, and we know that thou hast no bastard children, Lord. And therefore, Father, help us to be aware of our standing before you, who we really are. We need to know. Father, we ask for your blessing now as you approach thy word, break it and feed us in Jesus' name. Amen. Alright, maybe sit it. Alright, we have already covered much in the last already more than 2 months now. This will be, I think, the 12th in the series. So we have concluded last week more or less to the extent of coming with the message of the shout. We heard it, we moved into the voice of the archangel, and now we are now in the trump, in a period where we expect it to happen. And this is the generation, it has to happen. There cannot be another generation. Now let's go and look into these two verses again for our text. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4, verse 16 to 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Well known verses of scripture, well known to this day in denomination even. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. So here Paul mentioned only about the last trump, about the trump, not about the voice, not about the shout. Alright, he's talking about the change, the mystery here. Therefore, as I said this, the rapture is a mystery. And Paul talked about this mystery. So the question is that we have been studying is how this mystery unfold. Okay? So in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. So it only happened at the last trump. When the trump comes, then we realize that in that time there will be a change. And that change will be in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Okay? And the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This is at the last trump, only when it comes in. So we have already passed the sharp phase. Right? We have already passed the sharp phase. And that we are now in the voice phase. And the trump phase only come when this phase of the voice of the archangel is complete. When the perfection of the saints is complete. then the trump will come in. You understand? Now, I want to here sort of present you something right now is, we have always been talking about the word. I have preached the word, I have taught the word to you. The best I know how, the which the Lord has given me to teach to you, and even write the book and go overseas and talk to and preach to these believers. Now, in order which we know how serious is it to you and to me when it comes to the instructions of the word. Abraham said, if you believe, you must follow the instructions of the word. Do you understand that? Now, I want to take you to the place in the book of Joshua for this moment of time. Turn to me with the book of Joshua. We already talked a little bit about on Friday, but let me just talk about here a little bit to just touch upon for those of you who are not here on Friday. Now, I have already shown to you that when God called some man, Abraham, he dealt with Abraham in a way, very personal. Now, if God has called you as to be his son or daughter, he will deal with you. God doesn't deal with a group, you know that. He doesn't deal with us as a church group. He deals with you as individual. Alright? So, in Abraham's life, God dealt with him. In his failure, God allowed his mistake to be shown in the scripture, shown to us, to see the failure of the man whom God called. And yet, in the failure, the man did not just do nothing about it. He gets up and he do what God instructed him to do. Even when the land, the best piece of land in Canaan was taken by Lot, the land of Jordan, the valley. Yet God told Abraham to arise and walk the whole length and breadth of Canaan because it belongs to him. God promised that. So when the leadership later on came upon Moses, when Abraham's descendant came about, his seeds multiplied through Isaac and through Jacob and through tribes, and they were all locked up over there as slaves in Egypt. And God sent his servant Moses to lead the people out. And so even in Moses, no matter how Moses, you know, in his failure, yet God used him. And Moses was a man who had been through much in life, dealing with the children of Israel, the stubbornness, the grumbling, the murmuring. So much so, of course, Moses was forbidden to enter into the promised land because he, instead of speaking to the rock, he struck the rock because of his, well, we say that he's frustrated and he made the mistake. But perhaps we should also understand that it comes to the place where Moses get a little bit puffed up, you know. And well, servants of God do that sometimes, you know. I like the song that we use, I travel along a lonely road and things like that, you know, so that I can offer bowls and say, I've done so much work for you. And we see Paul did the same thing. That's why God did not take away the pain from his eye, so that he would be a buffer, you know, for him, so that his head would not be lifted up. So God forbid Moses to go into the promised land. Then Nathan he turned and said to Joshua. Now Joshua became the leader. Now interestingly, as I said, that Moses was a type of Brother Branham in the church. Moses, meaning that his name is Moshiach, mean Moshe, naked, that who is taken out of the water, drawn out of the water. So, Abraham's message was to draw us out of the water of denomination. The water always represents the Gentiles. And the water of the Gentiles are never, never at rest. It's always moving, stirring up, and raging, and so forth. Even the river now that flows. Now, when Brother Branham's message was given to us, draw us out of the denomination of the world into the truth. The next leader was Joshua. And that's why we have this Joshuitic ministry. The name Joshua means Jesus is salvation, or Jehovah is salvation. And so Joshua was a type of the leadership of the Holy Spirit of Christ leading the church into the teaching of the word. Because when Joshua took the people over the river Jordan into the land of Canaan, he divided up the land. As we will say, that Joshua the ministry today divide up the word, rightly dividing the truth of God's word, and feed the people their portion. You see. Now, Joshua being called, here in the book of Joshua, you find that in chapter 3, here we have the crossing of the river Jordan into the promised land. Now the children of Israel were on the eastern side of the river Jordan. And now they have fought through the land, those that were against them. And so they were camping out there in the river Jordan south, the eastern side, ready and waiting to cross over the river Jordan into Canaan. Now in chapter 3, you find that here God gave Joshua the instruction which he gave to the people of Israel. Now, I want to say this, that if we look into the Bible, the Old Testament, how God dealt with the children of Israel, we just many times learn about it, read about it, or study about it, and never really sort of meditate about it and ask some question. So here we have in chapter 3, God told Joshua that, in verse 6, he said, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. Now, it goes right down to, let's go up to verse 3 first. And he commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest, the Levite, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go. For you shall not pass this way before. For you have not passed this way hitherto. Now, God told Joshua told the people, he said, when you see the priest carry that ark and move towards the river Jordan, you get up and stay behind the ark. But the space between you and the ark, the space is 2,000 cubits. Don't go any way you want, you like, because he says here, so that you may know the way by which you must go. Now, kind of a bit strange, right? If you have a reason, so why is it God so fussy? Why not? I mean, why must it be 2,000 cubits? Well, what about 1,000, you know? I mean, that's pretty long, 2,000. One cubit, let's say, is 18 inch, huh? By the arm's length, by the elbow length, is 18 inch. So if 2,000 cubits, how many feet is that? 300 feet, isn't it? 3,000 feet, sorry. 3,000 feet. 3,000 feet is about how many? 1 meter. One kilometer, yeah. I mean, that's pretty far. 1 kilometer, the arc is quite far away. You probably see it a little bit. Right. So, I mean, what's the first? How can we just be about 100 cubits away? Now, if God says 2,000 cubits, you follow. But that's the problem with people. If God said, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, what would you do? He said, it doesn't matter. Just repent will do. Don't have to be baptized. That's why people don't follow instruction. And the more that I studied, the more that I realized, I came to the message, and all this year, I realized the warning God has been given. And to a lot of people in the end time message, I can tell you this, they're not going to make it in. You think that I'm not telling the truth? People think, oh, you know, I'm still receiving this email, this man who keep on sending it to me, he has been going from one pillar to another pillar. I don't know whether the pillar is broken or not. That's why he moved. From one church to now, one following one minister to another, and now what he's in? He is with San Diego. Out there in Central America, who believe he's the one now, after Brother Branham. There are many people who think that they are the one now, after Brother Branham. He's going to see the bride go into the rapture. How foolish can that be? When the Bible tells us, as already Paul already know, it takes Ephesians 4, the fivefold ministry. It's not a one man that can take you into to perfect you. Not one man can perfect you. It's the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know. Why have you been sending me all these words of this San Diego and come to the place to see the big cathedral, the tent vision that Brother Branham had being fulfilled now? If you remember the tent vision of Brother Branham, it's out there in Central America. You know. So you see, people have all that idea. When a simple instruction is in the Word of God, when Brother Branham said, come out of my people and get back to the Word, stay with the absolute, come back to the original. What is the original? Isn't that a simple instruction? You say you believe and you do not follow it, so you show that you don't believe. And which is true? The Bible is the absolute that makes Brother Branham the absolute. It makes his book the absolute. If Brother Branham said, curse be denomination, I said, curse be Branhamism. How terrible it must be. Luther didn't start Lutheranism. John Wesley did not start the Wesleyan thing, or Wesleyanism, or Methodism. Everyism is a cult. So if we are aware of the truth, just be sure what the Word of the Bible says. If you go a little later right now, what do they need when they cross over Jordan? They are on the east. Now if you're looking at me at this side, east is on your left, on your right. Okay. Alright? The river Jordan. You have to cross over to the Canaan land. Now on this side of the east, they have been through out of Egypt, wilderness, and 40 years, and now they are going through all the burden that they have. Now about to cross into Canaan, which is their rest. So on the eastern side, they have been through the burden. They have been burdened. Yeah, we are all burdened. Now I think that we are burdened. Well, we are supposed to carry our own burden, you know, carry our own crowns. We help. But have you been? Are you at rest? Are you at rest? In a sense, yeah, when we have come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we to rest. But of course, everyone wants to have a rest from our toiling here on this earth. Go on in the rapture, everything will be fine. So, they have to cross the River Jordan. River Jordan represents death. It represents baptism. It represents death. You have to cross over there and over into Canaan land. That's where you find rest. You know one thing about the Word of God? The more that you study it and understand it, you are at rest with God. Because God's plan and purpose, they unfold to you. They open up to you to understand. You see. Do you understand that? Then you know the plan of God, so you know where you are heading, how God is doing it. And that's why God was showing this to Joshua. Now, if you go over there, right now over to chapter 6. Now, when they were over, they were on the eastern side. You know, they've been through the wilderness where there are manna, God provide manna from heaven. Wonderful, huh? Every morning they get up in the morning and you see all this five pretty things hanging on tree branches and leaves and on the floor. So they pick it up and they eat it.
Alright.
So what is it? Means in Hebrew, ma. They don't know what that was, of course. They eat it from day to day. Some are being greedy. They're trying to take more for tomorrow. Of course, by tomorrow, it rots. Because God's word is always fresh. Yesterday manna won't do today. Right? We have fresh manna every day. So now, while they were on that side, when they cross over, what do they eat? Do you know? They eat the old corn of the land. The land of Israel, the whole promised land, filled with milk and honey, and the old corn of the land never rots. So they eat the old corn of that land. You know the Bible that is in your hand, how many years, how old is that? You hold the Bible in your hand, how old is that? How old is the oldest Bible? Written by Moses. Huh? About nearly 2,000 years after the flood, it was written. So how many years ago was that book? And then the New Testament, the last book being Revelation, was written by John. That just barely passed only 2,000 years ago. So that's old book. Huh? Of course, even the oldest book that was even older than Moses wrote those five books was the book of Job. Even written earlier than Moses. So you see, you have the old corn of the land, which is still fresh. Edible, makes sense. Filled with nourishment. Alright. So now, in chapter 6 here, Jericho. When they cross over the river Jordan, the first city they fight to get a hold of was the city of Jericho. Now, Jericho, the Bible, if you read from the start, the people were all going to shut themselves up because, you know, news got around how that these people conquered so many places and they all got afraid. Huh? You remember how the two spies went into spy in chapter 5? Spy the city, and then, a woman, Rahab, kept them in the room, right? And said to them, we all know what your God has been doing. We hear all this news about, you know, your conquest. You know. So now, the fall of Jericho. If you know in this chapter, we're not going to read it. But let us look at these few verses. In verse 4. Seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram horn. And the seventh day you shall comfort the city seven times, the priests shall blow with the trumpet. Now, here we have the instruction given, if you read the whole chapter, is that the priests were carrying the ark. Now, before priests carrying the ark, two in front of the ark, two at the back. And then in front of the priests that carry the ark will be seven priests. Seven. Or having a ram horn to blow. In front of the seven priests will be a soldier. A company of soldiers right in front. Behind the priest that carry the ark will be other soldiers. So they're going to march the city, around the city, once every day. And this is the instruction given to them. Joshua said, when you march, don't speak. Not one word come out from your mouth. Only the priest will just blow the ram horn. Just blow. Now, God said to Joshua to tell the people to do it once every day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, do it seven times, move around seven times. Until the seventh time you finish it, then the priest that blows the ram horn will blow a long blast. Continuous, just blow it. And you'll shout at the same time. Now, we can, I don't know, but people who don't believe the Bible, who just really kind of crazy idea. I mean, nobody goes to battle doing things like that. Well, you try to do it today, I mean, try to ask, go and find the ISIS and ISIS, whatever they are, and do all this crazy thing. What do you think? You'll be dead, you'll shoot you. I mean, just think about it. Why did God give such an instruction? Huh? Now you can go around and try to decipher the reason for that. Whether it could be because they create fear among the people. Or because after the blast and the shock at the same time, that the frequency and was so strange that would cause the wall of the city to crumble. I don't know. Maybe go to America to bring down an earthquake. Well, we can have all kinds of things. But the thing is this, when God said that, Joshua and the people have to do exactly as God said. No otherwise. You understand what I'm saying? Every soldier that marched do not even speak a word. And they are serious. And be quiet. And stay in the position. Now, that's what we talk about, the instruction of the word. If these people do not believe, they will not follow the instruction, then what will happen? It's not going to work. You understand what I'm saying? That's what Jesus said. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. Every tittle, every iota, every dot, stroke must be fulfilled. See? So, if you look again here, we have seven priests with the ram horn. 6 days they walk around the city only one time. Now, if you look into this as a type and try to place a picture along with Revelation chapter 2 and 3, the seven churches, and you will know that the first six churches, what do they have? The first church age started because the Nicodemus spirit came in and started sowing the tares, and the church went into backwards, so to speak. Huh? Satan began to tear away some of the doctrine because men came in with all their deception. And then we find out as time goes on, the restoration of reformation started. But each time, God just gave them something. The fullness of the word of God was not revealed until the seventh church age. And that's why they marched around seven times around the city. Seven times on the seventh day. We are living in the seventh day. We are living in the seventh church age. You understand? And we have the seven, all of which God now, the word, the number seven represents perfection. That's why the word now is open to us. In the days of John Wesley, they couldn't see what we have today. Do you realize that? Do you know that how much of the Bible has been shown to us in this hour compared to that which was in the days of John Wesley? John Wesley had a little bit more than Luther's time. Sure. Because as the Bible said, in the last day, knowledge will increase. Not just in the world. You know how much the computer, technology have increased. Fantastic. Very fantastic. It's unbelievable. That if the world were allowed to go for another 5 years, they will make a humanoid. Even now, science fiction try to say that, well, the computer, they try to program a computer, the computer can think for itself. People say, it's not possible. But you know what? The Bible says man has become like God. They find ways to try to make it possible. Huh? Because if you were to use data and make the data to be able to calculate certain, calculate your formula, your whatever, you know, the trajectory of how to send a rocket to space and all that stuff, you think that man cannot come to a place where he can make the data reason within itself. And it can be very scary when machine takes over the world. That's why the Bible talks about man. If God doesn't, you know, cut short the day, man will destroy themselves. Huh. I mean, think about it. It's such a marvelous thing if your great-grandmother, my grandmother has seen it, but the great-grandmother has never seen a plane fly in Asia, except maybe in America, yes, when the Wright brothers start flying. But there were paper planes, make of wood and whatever. But today, a big jumbo, a big machine out there, which is like a, well, you know how big that really is, huh? You know how many rooms can be fit into it? How many kitchen can fit into it? And that is a heavy metal. Of course, nowadays they use alloy composite. But the day when they make that 747, that machine lifts up into the air and fly. Right? Yeah. If you could bring your great-great-grandfather from dead and show him that, and you look at that place, what is that? He won't believe there is a plane that's flying. He wouldn't even know what on that, how could that thing go up there? So, think about what men have done. Look at your computer system. Huh. So, when we come to this about obedience, God demands obedience. I want to show you this. Why is important? Now, we are in the seven churches. Now we have the seven trumpet. I mean, they walk around seven times and they blow and then the host Jericho came down. Nothing hindered them anymore to take the land, to take the whole city. Let's go to the book of Thessalonians. Okay, 2 Thessalonians, sorry. Chapter 1. Now, here in chapter 1, verse 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye be count worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffered, seeing that it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. Now, this is, think about Joshua going to the land of Canaan, having rest. So you rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angel, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testament among you are believed in those days. Now, this verse here. You see the word here, when we read that, these people will think that this verse refers to Christ's coming or Christ's return in person. In person, physically. Huh? But the word revealed in verse 7, revealed from heaven with his mighty angel. The word reveal here means the apocalypse. The word reveal is a revelation. So it actually means, it does not mean Christ appearing physically for you or to the world. But it's a revelation to you as he comes. So that's why sometimes it's so hard for people when they read the Bible, because if you are using King James, you only have the King James to follow. So what Paul is talking about is that While we are troubled now, we will rest. When the Lord shall reveal from heaven with his mighty angel, this verse goes over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when he shall descend from heaven with a shout. We rest now because Christ revealed himself in his word to us. And he says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. What is this flaming fire? Ultimately people think that Christ is going to come and throw fireball. You know what I mean? You see that maybe in some fantasy movie. This flaming fire is the word of God. Remember that message or article that I wrote about the revelation of the flaming sword? It's not a fire. God's word is a flaming fire. And so I said many times that if you do not know how, not called to handle the word of God, you better be careful. You're hanging fire. You get burned. Flaming fire is God's judgment by his word. And he says he has to give vengeance of them that know not God. Not because they do not know God, it's because why? Whether they are atheists or whether they do not want to know. It's just that people just don't want to know God. Oh yeah, he talked about you. Yeah, I heard about him. Yeah, okay. And they just brush it away. Right? And then the other one is, and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is this gospel? The word gospel, everybody thinks the gospel is the good news about salvation of Jesus. The word gospel just simply means evangelion. I mean, Greek means truth, news, good ones. Right? So when we talk about the gospel to the Christian, we always think about Christ. When we talk about the gospel of the Buddhists, it's about Buddha's teaching. The gospel of Islam is about what Islam believes. Now, if there is a news going on the television, and the people didn't hear it, and you ask them, have you heard the gospel today? They will think, oh, you're talking about the gospel of Jesus. And the word gospel means news, good news. Have you heard the gospel on the TV? What gospel on TV? You see, it's a word that is Greek. Translated in English as the word gospel. So that's why we have a problem. So he said, yeah, they obey not the gospel, the good or the truth, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. They obey not. Now, there are people like us. People who are Christian. When God revealed the truth, they obey and do not obey the truth. And scares me, people say, well, it doesn't matter how you baptize, as long as you are sincere in your heart. Now, you know, if truth is truth, just by having salvation in Christ Jesus, if it is just simply believe the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If we take that verse alone and not connecting it to other verses of the scripture, that's what you believe. Yeah. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I believe. Right? I believe. And you think you have salvation? You know the Bible said the devil also believed but he trembled. And that's different. The devil believed what the Bible said. But he trembled. Why? Why did he tremble? You believe the Bible. Do you tremble? There are two things. When you believe the gospel, you tremble because the Bible is already judging you. But if you don't act according to what the Bible said, then you're in trouble. But the word is given. Either you take it or you reject it. The devil rejected it. The devil knew that he's finished. That's why he's trouble. So if you say, you accept it, then follow the instruction of the word. Now we have come a long way. And we need to back up. If our life is not in line with the word, we don't behave right, we don't do the right thing,
Yeah? We'll have found ourselves on the other end of the scale when it comes to judgment. Because now God's fire, God is already taking vengeance. See what happened out there in the world today. People don't realize that God has already has by His law, whatsoever you sow, you shall also reap. God is always looking at the world. Sometimes He does something to help in certain part of the world. Some part of the world He let it to rot. You ever think about it? You see? What is that happening now in Chennai? In India? In a place that is now flooded completely. There's so much water down there. What about Syria? The Bible talks about Damascus. It's going to be destroyed. When is it going to be destroyed? It won't be destroyed. And if you were to look at the world today, the countries, the nations that suffered the most, one way or another, physically, climate, weather-wise, or whether it's civil unrest, whatever, all you have to do is look at the background of their faith. Just look at the background of faith. Catholic countries suffer a lot. But you could say, well, we are in the path of the typhoon. Really? What is so that the Philippines suffer so much? What is it so okay in Nicaragua and all the Central American countries? Even right now, UK have rejected the gospel practically. You go to the churches there, you see a lot of old folks, you don't see hardly young people now. They have let down the bar. America! Abraham said, she's finished. I go pray for her. See what America is suffering right now? They are going to be in big trouble. You know what? Our Singapore nation is such a blessed country. Let me tell you something. Because even Lee Kuan Yew knows about the Bible. He read other religion, he studied other religion, and he has respect for the faith. But he allows, because what happened in Singapore, if you look at years back, I remember sometime there were in the early years, there was so much problem before our present government took over power. People who are selling kueh, you know, hawkers out there, here comes the tegua. You know, Chinese called tegua. What is that? You know, I said, do not know. Something to do with the ground buffalo. Landlord. Yeah. I don't know why. Yeah, but you know, when they sell, all of a sudden, these government people, whenever they come and kick all their foot, you know, cuts everything down. And these people are poor. So when the present government took over power, a whole lot of things changes. You know. So here the population of Christians began to increase. People are praying. People respect the government here. That's why the Bible talks about prayer for your authority. Those have authority over you. Even though you don't agree with some principle that they have in running the nation, some people grumble over everything. It's just principle. You see. But when you have spiritism behind a nation, that's something different. Who's running the country? You know, look at Japan. You only have about 1% Christian only. Look at the disaster that they have. California is going to sink. They have earthquakes so many times already in history. And Brother Ramsey is, California is sinking.
Nobody believed that when he first said it. But now people seem to realize, because after all, research has been going under submarine, into the water under submarine, or in the submarine underwater, to look at the land underneath California. Nothing but honeycomb. It's going to break off like a piece of what you call honeycomb. It's just going to break like that. No solid land underneath it. Probably even said it, that is going to sink. When they found out years later, oh my. Now they started to produce all these movies, earthquakes, and San Andreas, and things like that. Why? Huh? Warning has been going out. Not only California is going to sink, America is going to be bombed. And that's suffering. So, you see how important that is? That's the reason why. You know, it's not good. I mean, if you have your own home, don't put anything that is, you know, artifacts or something which is paganistic. You are just having spirit coming around. You know, even though what I'm saying, I mean, if your father is a Hindu or Buddhist or whatever, of course he is entitled to it, you're living there. But if you have your own home, you want to create a Christian environment. That's important. So now, without understanding the importance of what Joshua's book show us. So let us continue with this now. Let us go to Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3. Now we are expecting the last trump to manifest. Once the bride is, or the wife of Christ, and make herself ready, then we will be changed. And, well, we always say that, believe in this seven. Well, we know what Revelation 10, 7 says. Oh, Revelation chapter 10, rather. When the mighty angel came down, and he shouted with the voice of a lion roar, a crowd with the voice of a lion roar. And then the Bible says, seven thunder uttered their voices. Right? Now, until today, there's a lot of people that are trying to figure out what is the thunder. Some people say, no, we don't have to figure out. We already know the seven thunder and the seven seals. And so on and so forth. Seven thunder has already been revealed. And I ask them, what are they? Oh, they are the seven seals when they are open. I said, what are they? And they're just merely called brand, without an understanding. And I said this before. Brother Shadrach in India, he just last couple of weeks ago, or 2 or 3 weeks ago, he sent me a long list of quotes. He said, Brother Graham, look at Brother Graham said that the Trinity, you know, that there is a Trinity. So I said, so what's new? Huh? Yeah, Brother Bram talked about the Trinity. Yeah, he said that there's a Trinity. But I said, watch what he teach, not just simply take a statement. Here and there. Right? The same thing with, as you know, the Bible do not have full stop, no comma. Remember, I told you that. And the Bible said, there is no God. I can show you a verse, the Bible said there is no God. Yet, if you read carefully, the Bible said what? The fool said, there is no God. So, if you want to take the Bible out of context, yes, right. There's some people can take a verse of the scripture and then give it some kind of interpretation. That's not how it is done. The part of writing, dividing the word of God, not simply extract some statement, phrase, a clause, maybe just a word, and make a doctrine out of it. So, if these seven thunder utter their voices, we want to know is, what are they? Right? So, before we go into Zechariah, let's just pause the thing for a moment.
Now, in the book of Revelation, we just go over it. You can see that from chapter 1 to, well, onwards, what did the Bible say about this thing that John saw? There's a common number that is attached to it. That number is number 7. There is the 7th seal. I mean, there is the 7th candlestick. Right? In chapter 1. Huh? Is that not right? In verse 13. In the midst of the 7th candlestick. Well, there's 7 candlestick. So, huh? Okay. And then we have in verse 16. What do we have here? 7 stars. So 7 candlesticks, 7 stars. Then you go over to chapter 4. When you look at your chapter 4, you will see that in verse 5, 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. So there's a 7. Again. Oh. And then chapter 5, you have the 7 seals book. A book sealed with 7 seals. And then so on and so forth, you have the 7 trumpets. Then the 7 vows. So now, when you look at all these 7, are they really, really 7? Some people say, no, 7 just means a perfect number. Does God just use number 7? Hey, but we know very well that there are 7 churches. And each church, or each age, you will say, in those days of God, when John wrote it, that church has a particular character, but represented in each age. So, if there are 7 church ages, and we know that it corresponds to what was being described to this particular church, each church represents an age. And that age, represented by that church, actually happened. So when we come to the 6th, the Philadelphia church age, or Philadelphia church at that time, it was a church of brotherly kindness, and it is true when John Wesley came along. You see? So can you deny that? That there are actually 7. And that there are actually 7 candlesticks. And that the seal book was sealed with 7 seals. So if there are then the 7 thunder, John said, I heard the 7 thunder utter their voices. Don't tell me that there were no 7 thunders. Huh? 7 means 7. What if God used 7? To down a lot of these out there, they say, oh, it means there's a perfect number. They're showing God's perfection in His work and everything. Now, if there is 7, it means there are 7. If there are 7 trumpets, it means there must be 7 trumpets. Because the Bible says when the first trumpet was blown, something happened. When the first seal was opened, something happened. And so on and so forth. So, there are 7 thunders that utter their voices now. And John heard them, and I want to emphasize this, because now we're talking about the secrets or the mystery as to the rapture, how the whole thing is going to culminate. Huh? So, John heard 7 thunder utter their voices. Now, don't tell me John doesn't know how to count. He counted them, so he must be 7. And then he started to write what they said. And the voice of my heaven said, don't write it, sit it down. So, it has not been uttered. I mean, it has not been revealed. Because John is the only one who heard it. He got the information, but he was told not to write, So we here, we know nothing. Nothing was written, we know nothing. So, what is the reason for that? Now, it doesn't say we are not in the message. It doesn't say we all don't know. We're just Christians just trying to learn something to figure out. How many of us would, reading that, would think and say, why did God allow in the vision to John that John heard this seven thunder, whatever they are, right, whatever they were, to utter their voices, to speak certain things, to say certain things, and John was about to write, and God said, don't write it, seal it up. What? Why? Why did God do that? I mean, unless we have a curiosity, unless we have the desire to know, hey, what is that? I mean, when I was in denomination, you know, when you talk about this original sin, we don't bother, really bother, because like all Christians, we go to church, we hear, we just follow. We know nothing. Oh, it's a disobedience to the commandment of God. It took a fruit, maybe it's an apple, it's a pear, whatever. And we don't really question. But you see, the thing is that the moment I came out of denomination, because in denomination, I only studied according to their tenet of faith, their guideline. So when I came out of that, all that theology goes out. And I began to question. Fear out, as God said, come, let us reason together. So what is the reason for that? That God should let someone turn to utter their voices. John heard it, they were about to write. John was told John, don't write anything, just sit up. Kind of strange. In the first place, what let John hear? After all, John saw all the visions and whatever was spoken. The elder said this, that, you know, the beast said this. He wrote it down. And this particular one, sit it up. Something is there. Now, are we interested in that? Because, you know, if I were to talk to denomination, they would just, and that's about it. It holds a secret. Now, what Bible talks about, it holds a secret. Okay, so we have, so it's not only symbol. So seven means seven. Even the pyramid, you know, the seven virtues, right? The stem, the Bible draw the seven virtues, the pyramid shape. There are seven. There are 7 days in the week. Seven colors in the rainbow. God used that seven for what a purpose? Why there are 7 colors in the rainbow? Kind of strange why there are 7. Because there's a spectrum of light. Pure light hit that, you'll get 7. I mean, if you use all kind of funny light, I don't think you get a spectrum of 7 colors. It's unique that it must be light, pure light on that, to get 7 colors. See. So we go to Zechariah right now and see what he says in Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 3. Now, in verse 8 onward. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest. Thou and thy fellows that sit before you, for they are men to wonder at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be 7 eyes. Behold, I will engrave the engraving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts. And I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. As much as God speaks to Joshua regarding Israel, there is a mystery here, because if you remember the whole book of Zechariah, if you remember, over in the next chapter, you have the candlestick and the olive trees. There is a candlestick that have 7 branches and 2 olive trees on the side, which always feed the candlestick. And we know that the oracles of God came through Israel to us. Through their prophet. And here you have the 2 olive trees represent, of course, the two great prophets, Moses and Elijah. One that is the law, one that is grace, whose oracles, who represent the prophets and the law, whose oracles came to us, which is represented by the candlestick, the seven seal changes. Of course, we know that the menorah, of course, was used by the Jew in the temple worship, as well as in the tabernacle of Moses. You know, but they represent to us here that the oil fit into the lamp stand, so that their fire can be kept burning. Now, that same fire that is burning will have to return back to Israel. Once the church is over, the gospel will go back to Israel, and the two prophets will prophesy. Right. So right now here in chapter 3, you see here, Joshua the high priest. There are two characters here in this book of Zechariah, because they were just rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem. Huh? And there's this character called Joshua, the other character is Zerubbabel, which you can read the word in chapter 4. The days of small things. Zerubbabel. Joshua represents Christ Jesus as the high priest. Zerubbabel represents Christ Jesus as the administrator of the city. You see? So now here, when it comes to the high priest, it is the revelation that's to be revealed is through the high priest to us. Okay? So now, the word came to Joshua, said, "Oh Joshua, you and your fellow that sits before you," this fellow here, fellow means men, "that sits before you, there are men wonder at," there are men, wonder means they are wonderful men, men of signs, to show signs. Unique men, they're going to manifest something. "For behold, I have placed, I will bring forth my servant the branch," which of course is the Lord Jesus Christ in his return, called the branch of Jesse. "For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua." Now you sit there, Joshua, and with all these men around you, there is a stone that is before you. That stone has seven eyes. Hell, seven eyes. Why you mean by seven eyes? Why you seven? Why seven? Why not eight? Why not nine? Huh? Because this stone has seven facets. Surface cut. You know how diamonds are cut? That's a stone with seven eyes. It means seven sides. Like the menorah, seven. A candlestick, seven. And he says here, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the engraving thereof, said the Lord of hosts. Now that is a play of word here. I will engrave the engraving. It's the same word being played. Patot. I will engrave. When you engrave, you must be putting something on it. You must be writing on it, right? You engrave something on it. The engraving thereof. I will engrave the engraving. It means to say that I will engrave, yet the engraving will come forth. You understand? Huh? When you engrave, that's it. You engrave it. But the engraving will also bring out, will jump out. That is to say, it will unfold. It's the revelation. Now, let me just read it to you in another translation. "As sitting face to face with Joshua was seven men, thy fellow that sit before you, for there are men wonder at." This here means these men were marvelous men. That's from Lamser's translation. These men were marvelous men. Another translation called Battle's translation, men that are assigned. Men of good omen, that is the Revised Standard Version. Men symbolic of things to come, that is the NIV. Men who are the sign of omen, types of what is to come, Amplified Bible. And William Burke translated the verse as follows: Please listen, Joshua. Oh, high priest, you and your friends who sit before you, you men stand for something wonderful I will do, because I will bring back my servant, the branch. That's an American translation by Willenberg. You see, so placed before Joshua, the man who sit, was a stone with seven eyes, having an inscription upon it. As a play on this word, engraving the engraving. That's the Hebrew word is patal, which is kind of strange. He hides the truth, but yet God will reveal it. So now, when is this going to happen? There are seven eyes on this one stone, and this man here that sits before Christ. How many men are there? The Bible didn't tell how many men. But no doubt about it, there is only seven there. There are seven eyes, those men sitting around Joshua are seven. Including Christ, eight, the principal men. So there's going to come this last day, I believe, seven men. They're going to go from place to place, uttering what John heard on the Isle of Patmos. And so Brother Abraham said that God did not want John to write it, because if it was written, then Satan would know it. And Satan would impersonate. And then, you know, how that would, it would cause a lot of confusion. So what Satan does not know, he couldn't do a thing. You see? So, if those voices were heard, and I said this before, and I proved that by what the Bible used the word. The seven thunder uttered their voices. There are two words here. Now, I have ministers from America who disagree with me, who said to me, he quoted to me the Bible and said that, you know, in the days before Jesus came, the Bible said that the voice of the prophet was read in the synagogue every Sabbath day. Yes, we know that the voice of the prophet were read. Because why? What is the voice of the prophet being read every Sabbath day? What does it mean by that? It means the Old Testament book. They will take the scroll of Isaiah, or the scroll of Jeremiah, or the scroll of Moses, and on the Sabbath day they will unfold the scroll and they will read it. So when they read the scroll, what were they reading? They were reading the voice of the prophet. You get it? So the same thing today here. When we can open the Bible, we are reading the voice of the prophet. But reading the voice of the prophet is different from the utterance of the prophet. What we have now in your Bible and mine, they're all just written word, which were penned by the prophets or even the apostles. That's it. Written word does not give you life. Did you understand what I'm saying? Because faith comes by hearing, not by reading. That's why the prophet, the books of the prophet, which was read every Sabbath day in Israel, even before Jesus came, they couldn't even understand, because it cannot bring forth life. So you can read the Bible, it don't mean a thing. You see? It's the hearing of the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See?
So, let's go to another part here. Chapter 4 of Zechariah. Verse 9 to 10. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of his house. His hand shall also finish it. Now you know why we think God is the author and the finisher of our faith, right? So if he build it, he will finish it. If a stone is not fitting into the house, he'll throw the stone away. He'll get another stone from up the river and bring it down and fit it. That's how God will do. If you don't fit into the house, you will be rejected. Another stone put into it. You see. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts shall have sent me unto you. For who have despised the day of smoting? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the head of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. They are the seven eyes. Where is the seven eyes? That seven eyes is on that stone that sat before Joshua, the high priest. And there are seven men that sit around him. Those seven eyes. That revelation in that one stone. A secret. Something that is being inscribed into it. But could not be understood until the hour comes. Then those seven wonderful men will go around. It is, as they say here in verse 10. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Yeah, those are the seven spirits. But those seven spirits are going to anoint seven men. And they are going to run around the world. Because why you understand this, you know, if I have denomination people sitting here, they're saying, well, this is a very kind of strange doctrine here. You know. So after all, you know, what do they believe in? We're looking at a mystery that hasn't been unfolded before to us, to anybody before. The mystery that a lot of people don't see. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, why is it so important? I said this many times. I'm not going to close. What is the importance of knowing the real truth about the original sin? Huh? You know, to a Christian, they say it's an apple, it's a fruit. And what has it got to do with the blood? There's no connection, and people don't really experience beyond just what they know. Oh, Jesus died for me. But you know what the original sin really was that happened in the Garden of Eden? You know the fornication that took place there? And you got this serpent seed that came along. And then what happened? The hybriding between them. And that's what we all are today. We are all having all this serpentine nature in us. Then we realize the importance of why Christ shed his blood. Because blood was involved. So blood needs to be shed. Then we can see why God wanted the children of Israel to destroy the Canaanite. Why the Canaanite? Why did they come from after the flood? Before the Bible said, because the Bible said they were giant in those days before the flood and after the flood. Where did that come from after the flood? If all giants were destroyed before the flood. Now we see why it came from Cain. In hybriding with the sons of God. Without this hybrid, there would be no giants. And John came about in the third generation and fourth generation. It started to pop up. And all were destroyed before, in the flood. But then when they come after the flood, and you find out, oh, okay, it's Canaan. And who was Canaan? I don't know. You don't know because you don't believe that. You don't understand the serpent seed. That's why you don't know.
And so my friend also understood. He said, how can I preach as a doctrine to say that Noah's wife had subjected the cost with his own son? Her own son. And he told me, he said, you are saying a terrible thing. Noah was a man of God. And you said his wife committed this. Wow, I think that, you know, silly men don't commit mistakes. Silly wives don't commit mistakes. I wonder what theology have taught him. Huh? And of course, we talk about Adam's wife, Eve, coming such on the cup with the serpent. How can you say that? You people are cults. These are not truth. These are all your imagination, they will say. And yet they can believe that it was a fruit from a tree. Now when Adam and Eve ate it, they realized they're naked. Very strange. I don't realize that a fruit can make me realize that I'm naked. And as Bob M. make a statement which is very good, is that Apple make Eve to realize and Adam to realize they were naked, and then why should take baskets of apple, go to the beach where people are wearing bikini and let them eat, and so they realize they were naked. Would that very stupid thing? You see what theology do to a person in a system? You see. So we need to therefore say that when we look into the Bible, let us as possible study. Don't be ashamed. Huh? Rightly dividing the word of truth. As we study, our mind must be open up. If it's something new, it doesn't say, hey, it cannot be. It cannot be only because why? You're already in your tradition. That's the only way. That is not why my hair is combed this way. Try to change my direction of combing it this way, it won't work. Right? I will think, now, this is the way I comb. That's the way it is. If I comb the other way now, it won't work. Really? If I want to comb it the other way, over time it will fall the other way. You agree with that? It's like a sapling, a plant. You just can manipulate it, huh? How you want to. But people's minds are just closed to it. We want to open our minds to understand the Word of God, to see the mystery that is coming, how God is going to bring it to pass, the event of the mystery of the rapture. God bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Oh, there's so much, oh Father, to understand, so much to look into your word, to be able to see the whole picture. But we know you guide us through, Lord. Little by little, understand, O Father, the things that must take place, and you will show us how it will take place, Father. Give us the understanding, Lord. We commit the rest of the day to you. Bless the word that has been spoken, and let all those who listen, Father, Lord, and hear, may they search the word of God and see if those things were true. Asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.